You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. As a Cuban-Mexican kid growing up in Oakland, writer Aidan Thomas enjoyed hanging out with his friends at the local cemetery. That heritage and those experiences are some of the inspirations behind his debut young adult novel, Cemetery Boys. The paranormal romance centers on Yadriel, a gay trans teenager in East L.A. Most of his family doesn't accept his gender, and he's trying to prove to them that he has what it takes to be a real brujo. Yadriel attempts to prove himself by finding the ghost of his murdered cousin, but he accidentally summons the wrong spirit. The book's success makes Aidan Thomas the first openly trans author to reach the New York Times bestseller fiction list with a main character who is trans. KLW's Janae Darden spoke with Aidan, who now lives in Portland, Oregon.
So you're originally from Oakland, East Oakland. Where?
Yeah, East Oakland, so Seminary, MacArthur area. And then I went to Mills College, which is basically in the same area, for undergrad and graduate school.
What were you reading as a kid?
Oh, gosh. I read pretty much all fantasy. It took, a lot of work for my mom to get me into reading books. I was a very, resistant reader. I didn't have, the attention span for it. But the first book that I, really, madly fell in love with was Howl's Moving Castle by Diane Wynne Jones. And I feel like I kind of got a lot of my writing style from that book because it's fantasy and it's got some intense elements, but it's also really funny. And so everything that I write, there's a humor to it.
We're living in a time that I longed for as a kid. You know, the other day I'm reading your book, Cemetery Boys, yeah. And I'm watching a black Batwoman. I was kind of bugging out, whoa, this is awesome, you know, to have all this representation. So you weren't a big reader at first, and then you got into fantasy. When did you start writing?
I started writing probably before I started reading, which I know sounds weird. But when I was, in elementary school, my mom loves to talk about how I was always getting in trouble for not, being focused during class because I was either doodling in notebooks or writing in my journals. And I guess the first kind of actual creative bit of writing I did was that I would write about the dreams that I had and attempt to turn them into stories. And then when I was in middle school, I really got into fan fiction.
And Cemetery Boys came from fan fiction.
That's the whole thing, is that people can be so kind of strange about the writing process and how you learn how to write and stuff like that. And I double majored in psychology and creative writing. I got my MFA in creative writing, but none of those programs taught me how to write. I learned how to write from doing fan fiction.
So you are a cemetery boy, because I understand, what were you doing hanging out at the Mountain View Cemetery in Piedmont, Aidan?
It wasn't just me. First of all, it wasn't just me.
I know.
When I was a teen, it was a thing to go hang out at Mountain View Cemetery. And it's so beautiful up there. And it has a view of the bay. It was like a park. People would go on jogs and stuff.
I imagine that inspired this book.
Yeah, it definitely did. But then also these really beautiful cemeteries that they have in Mexico City that have these really beautiful houses for urns that look like these brightly painted birdhouses.
As we see more diversity with paranormal fiction by writers of color, it seems we kind of write about death differently, I think. What did you learn about death from your culture?
I think what's really interesting is that death, it's not the end, right? So I feel for most people, when you think of death, it's kind of this really sad and kind of depressing, dark thing. It's absolutely a sad thing. There's a lot of grief that goes along with it. You know, you miss the people that you lose, but there's also this deep understanding that it's not the end of their journey or your relationship to them, because on Dia de Muertos, we get to remember and celebrate those people and welcome them back.
The main character, he wants to be a brujo. And he is, and I know it's gendered as far as the roles. So the women who are brujas, they do the work of healing. And then the brujos, they do the work of communicating with spirits, helping spirits to cross over. And he's being rejected by his family, who has this legacy because he's trans. How challenging was that? Or was it painful to write about that too?
I don't think it was painful. I think it was kind of an important unpacking. I wanted to have a magic system that was gender affirming, to really put forth the idea that society doesn't get to decide who you are. You decide who you are. When you know who you are, the magic knows who you are. So that's why Lady Death, who is the patron of the Bruhex, she sees Yadriel for exactly who he is, which is why she gifts him with the powers of the Brujos. And what I really wanted to unpack is just kind of this idea that's really common. And I think, like, especially within my community, where sometimes things are done the way that they're done just because that's how they've always been done. This idea of tradition not being questioned, and then falling into these really, like, harmful patterns of, like, only women can do this and only men can do that. But I wanted to show how the younger generations are the ones who are challenging and pushing and breaking down those barriers.
What's interesting is that the main characters, they're all kind of othered in their community. So, like, you know, Julian's kind of he's in the streets. Yadriel, he's trans, and it's hilarious. His cousin Maritza is vegan, and so, like, I'm not Latina, but I know in my family it's like, you not eating that chicken?
Yeah, there's chicken in it. Chicken doesn't count.
I liked how you use othering in the book with just different categories of othering.
Yeah, I just really wanted to be, like, pushing on people's expectations, and especially with Julian, because when you're first introduced to him, he is framed in this way of being like, oh, he's like the school bad boy. But then you get to know him more. And again, him being a bad boy is just a societal construct that has been pushed on him because he doesn't fit in at school, because his learning style is not one that's, like, nurtured or accepted within traditional school environment. And that's a problem that is met up against teenage boys so often, especially boys of color, especially Black boys.
The publishing industry is very white and very heteronormative. And I was reading that you didn't face as many hurdles getting this book published.
So for the first book that I actually sold is Lost in the Neverwoods. And Cemetery Boys was my option book. And what that means is that when you sell your first book to a publisher, there's an option clause, which means that the next book that you write, they get to see first and decide if they want to publish it. And it was time to start sending my editor my, you know, option ideas. The first idea was, like, fully fleshed out, and I had, like, 20,000 words written. And Cemetery Boys was the last idea that I pitched, and it was a paragraph long, and most of the sentences ended in question marks, because I was like, and maybe he's trans, and, like, well, I don't know, maybe he's also Latinx. I'm like, I guess he could be gay too, maybe, right? And like, looking back on it, it was really that I was asking her permission to be able to write about my identity, mm-hmm. because I was under the impression that people like me didn't exist in media, because I had never seen any of them. And so that meant that people like me and stories about kids like me wasn't, like, marketable, and it wasn't interesting in publishing. And I sent the email at, like, 6 o'clock our time. And she was like, oh yeah, no, we want Cemetery Boys. That sounds incredible. And I was just like, really? That's the one, huh?
You blew up really quick. How does it feel?
My imprint, Swoon Reads, is very small. So I thought that I would just kind of be, like, this really quiet book. And my whole goal with, like, writing Cemetery Boys to begin with was that, like, if I was able to reach one reader and, like, help them feel seen, then I would have done my job. Like, that's all I wanted. And then to suddenly have it be hitting the New York Times bestseller list for multiple weeks, it's been life-changing. It's been wonderful. But also, weirdly, like, the same, like, nothing has changed because we're in a pandemic. So it's not like I've been able to, like, go to any events or meet readers. So, like, all of this, like, success has just existed on my laptop. I'm just really looking forward to eventually being able to, like, meet readers and sign books.
That is weird. What feedback have you gotten from youth about the book?
Gosh, I get messages from young readers who are like, this is the first time I've ever felt seen in a book. Like, I related so hard to any number of characters in the story. Yeah. Such an incredible gift to receive that I feel like anything that I say in response is just not going to hold up to it. But it's been really wonderful. And I've had quite a few folks who have been like, reading Cemetery Boys helped me figure out my own gender identity, which is incredible. And I also had a young reader who told me that they named themselves after Julian because they related so much to Cemetery Boys into that book. And that like shook me to my core. That was like so awesome and incredible. I'm like, I'm not worthy of this. I'm really not.
You know, that's the power of art. A YA author had tweeted you. They tweeted because they wrote about a character who was racist, and a reader contacted them and asked them to make the character who's racist more nice. What do you see as your responsibility when readers get uncomfortable?
I would say that it's not my job to make people feel comfortable, especially when this is being aligned with racism. Discomfort is the way that we learn and grow. My biggest priority is always going to be to support young readers, to support young queer Latinx trans readers, marginalized kids. I'm not really concerned with that making other people uncomfortable because I'm not writing for them.
That was Cemetery Boys author Aidan Thomas speaking with KALW's Janae Darden. Aidan's next book is Lost in the Neverwoods, and it's due out in March.